I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Puck and Write Chicago podcast. This is our 49th show that we've done, so we're only one away from 50, which is crazy. We will hit 100 this upcoming season, which is pretty crazy to think about that it's been almost a year. It'll be a year next month since we've started this podcast. But how you doing tonight, Megan? How's it going this lovely Sunday evening?
After the computer issues I've had, it's been better.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, you know. It's the first, I was going to say before we get into hockey, it's the first Sunday of the NFL season. Praise be the Lord. Watched the Bears get their butts whooped last week, which was just great. I mean, at least we know we can kick a field goal, but watched Dallas today. We watched the Cubs lose today, so I'm watching all of my teams lose these last couple weeks.
You watched not to like rub it in, but you watched both of your teams lose to both of my teams.
Oh, I did. Oh, I know. I kind of want to. jump off a cliff.
I wasn't gonna say it. I wasn't gonna go there, but I felt like I really needed to go there because
there are no two other teams I hate more in this world than the Milwaukee Brewers and the Green Bay Packers. To be completely honest, besides maybe the St. Louis Cardinals, like those are the top three teams that I just. No matter what happens, I just can't cheer for them. We'll never cheer for them. Don't like any single player that plays on those teams, even Dexter Fowler. I can't do it. So, so it's been a rough week for Chicago sports, but, you know, that's how it goes. The White Sox are irrelevant, but basketball is also irrelevant. So hockey is what we're clinging on to here. So we...
Clinging real hard.
But yeah, the Philly Eagles won today. I like watching them too, so that was very very exciting. But the Dolphins got their butts whooped, which was just fun to watch. So I was actually watching Dallas Giants. Dallas obviously won, but so happy first Sunday of Sunday Night Football of the NFL season, the most wonderful time of the year. But we do have a couple things to jump into with free agency and things that are happening around the NHL as the season creeps closer and closer in. So we've got some free agency things to talk about here. Ian Barbashev, who was a restricted free agent this offseason, signs a 2-year, $1.475 million contract or AAV contract with the St. Louis Blues. Last season, he played in 80 games and had 14 goals and 12 assists for 26 points. He was also a part of the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup Championship team. So he was a part of that team. The big one that came out last week was Clayton Keller, who would have been an RFA after this upcoming season. He gets on the ball early, and he signs an 8-year, $7.15 million AAV contract with the Arizona Coyotes. Last year, he played in all 82 games. He had 14 goals and 33 assists, which comes out to 47 points. He's played in the NHL for the last 2 years, so he would have been out of his entry-level contract within the next season. And he was in the 2016 draft. He was drafted by Arizona in the first round. He was seventh overall, and he played at Boston University for his college career. So he gets on that early, and he signs, and he's staying on with the Coyotes, kind of hoping he becomes the cornerstone of that franchise as they try and, you know, revive it down there in the desert. It's not very popular down there, which is a shame because now they have Phil Kessel, so Phil Kessel should really help with that. They got a lot of young guys coming up. Yeah, so that was the big one last week. We can talk about that one once we go through all these names here. But from there, Adrian Kempe signs a 3-year, $6 million AAV contract with the Los Angeles Kings. Last season, he played in 81 games, had 12 goals and 16 assists for 28 points. Riley Sheehan, who is a noted Chicagoan, he signs a 1-year, $900,000 contract with the Edmonton Oilers. He formerly last year was with the Florida Panthers. He played in all 82 games last year, had 9 goals, 10 assists, and 19 points. And then the last two ones are pretty big that have happened over the weekend. Jumbo Joe Thornton signs a 1-year, $2 million contract to stay with the San Jose Sharks at age 39, going into his age 40 season. Last year, he played in 73 games, had 16 goals and 35 assists for 51 points. So, you know, he's still got it. And Jake Gardner signs a 4-year, $4.05 million AAV contract with the Carolina Hurricanes. Last season, he played in 62 games. He missed a majority of those 20 games with a back injury. He had 3 goals and 27 assists for 30 points. So Keller, Thornton, and Gardner are probably the biggest ones. Gardner especially because he's making less. He barely got a pay raise. He's making less than what Cody Ceci is making on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who essentially replaced him. And, I mean, he wanted to come back and play for the Leafs, but obviously Mitch Marner is holding everything up with these RFA negotiations. But let's stop on Clayton Keller first here and kind of talk about that, because there was a lot of buzz around this one when it came out, just because of not so much the length. We know Clayton Keller is going to be a great player in the league. Obviously, he was picked in the top 10, and he has proven himself. He has 114 points in his career, but you know, the $7.15 million is kind of what got people there. So, I mean, he's a great player. I don't think he's $7.15 million worth. I would have him maybe somewhere in the 5-6 range. I mean, considering Nathan MacKinnon makes like $5 million, I was just shocked. But, I mean, that's what it is now. As the cap goes up, how much the players are going to be played goes up, and inflation and all that stuff. But if you have any thoughts on that one.
I think, and we kind of talked about it when it happened. I think he was overpaid a little bit, but I mean, it's whatever. I mean, it happens, and I don't think it's one of those. I don't think it's one of the contracts that's like definitely going to set the market or anything. But it was kind of interesting, just from the perspective of somebody who doesn't follow the Coyotes in the slightest. I literally, they're just there for me. With their stupid howling. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they don't have, like, in my opinion, they don't have, like, a superstar player. I mean, they have Phil Kessel now, but the past, like, couple of years, they haven't really had, like, the superstar player kind of guy. So I guess they're hoping that Clayton Keller is going to become that. I'm not going to say that he can't become that. I think he could. Like you said, he was picked in the top 10, so it's not like he's a bad player. I was just kind of surprised at the, not so much the term, but I was definitely surprised at the price tag that came with the term.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they have everybody within for this season locked up. They have no more RFAs, and they have no more UFAs to lock up. They got about $200,000 or $180,000 in cap space right now, so they're almost up to the books there. But I mean, they have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who I'd consider as their superstar. They've got a lot of young guys on this roster. They've got Nick Schmaltz, Christian Dvorak, Lawson Kraus, Vinny Hinostroza, Clayton Keller, Kristen Fisher, Connor Garland, and then on forward, and then they got Jakob Chychrun on defense that are all under the age of 25 right now. So yeah, they've got a really young team, and then they've got guys around them like Phil Kessel, Derek Stepan. They've got Michael Grabner. When he's healthy, he's great. Brad Richardson's also a great leader. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Niklas Hjalmarsson, Jason Demers. And then on the back end, you've got Darcy Kemper, who was great last year, seemingly out of nowhere, and then Antti Raanta. So you've got some guys that are It's a good healthy mix, and I don't think they're. I mean, they play in a weaker Pacific division, so they could try and they could try for a wild card spot in the West for sure. I don't think they're getting those top three, but they've got a young team, so that'll be pretty exciting. And I mean, they got Clayton Keller. I guess they don't want to deal with any of what's going on this offseason with the RFA situation, and I don't blame him because nothing is moving.
I don't blame them. This is ridiculous. Like, it's getting absolutely ridiculous. Like, we are a week from. We're exactly a week from training camp, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as we're recording this, we're exactly a week from training camp. And
Leafs, I know Leafs camp opens Thursday.
Because there are a bunch of like big name RFAs still left. I know we've been talking about this the past couple weeks, but.
I can tell you right
like,
now.
There are like 20, right, still?
Werenski, Connor, Laine, Tkachuk, Puljujärvi, Besser. McAvoy, Provorov, Rantanen, Konechny, Marner, Kevin Fiala, Brendan Lemieux, Brandon Carlo, you go down the list, Braden Point. Yeah, there's 31 right now in this list with, in regards to like the bigger names that I just mentioned, but there's 31 in total that are still, RFA status that have not been signed. So
when I told my sister, cause she was like, we're talking about, you know, we're doing our fantasy league again this year, and my sister and I were talking draft strategy today, and she's like, I want to take Mitch Marner. I'm like, dude, I would rethink that.
Yeah, he probably won't play until like November, December. Yeah, like they were saying.
She's like, well, what about like Braden Point? I'm like, I don't know, dude, he's not signed yet either.
I made my draft strategy yesterday, and I have all my picks picked out in regards to where I'm picking in the round robin order, and I am literally staying away from every RFA that's on this list. Like, I'm not taking any RFAs because I just don't know when they're going to be signed. And you know, we saw last year with William Nylander, he didn't get signed until December 1st, and then he had a down second half of the season because he wasn't playing on NHL ice. He wasn't seeing things live. Like it takes a while for you to get accustomed to the game when you've been away for that long. So. I'm not taking any RFAs.
I know. I have three on my list, but they're all at the very bottom. So they're there like just if I like need an extra body or if I just need to grab somebody.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to try to kind of steer away from them too, because this draft class or not draft class, this RFA class is just a mess. Like I get it. I do. Like, you want your money, but you don't necessarily maybe want to stay forever. I fully get it, but
right.
I think maybe somebody needs to just break the ice because we're about to have a bunch. It'll be interesting to see what happens over this next week before training camp, because I think somebody big is going to get signed before training camp. That's my
at least one. Like, and I think it's going to be Zach Werenski because everything that I've heard about him has been pretty positive. Besides, you know, John Tortorella coming out and saying that he would be disgusted if he wasn't signed before training camp in an interview. So that's John Tortorella.
John Tortorella is just he's just a special breed of human.
He's a special guy. He's a special guy.
Interesting.
The other one I wanted to touch on before we move to some Blackhawks news is Jake Gardner signing in Carolina and bolstering that defense. You've already got guys on the roster, like a young guy, Hayden Fleury, Gustav Forsling. You got Dougie Hamilton, Brett Pesce, and Jakob Slavin. And you do have Justin Falk, but after the signing of Jake Gardner, it's kind of seeming likely that he might be traded or is not playing the season with the Carolina Hurricanes. The talks between their camp and the Carolina Hurricanes camp have not been very progressive and not been very positive, according to insiders all around the league. But that defense core now that you've added Jake Gardner, who's a great defenseman. I mean, he's a 30-point guy, but when he plays a full 82 games, he's right around a 40-50-point guy, and he's a great defenseman. And a lot of people, I think, turned away from the fact that he had that back injury last year, but he's come out and said, listen, it's totally fine. There's nothing that would be holding me back for this upcoming season, and I've trained all summer in that regard. So, I mean, that bolsters that defense core really nicely back there.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, especially because they gave up Calvin DeHaan, which, I mean, I can't be too mad about that, obviously, because, you know, Blackhawks. But yeah, they definitely needed, like, at least, like, one more veteran guy. And I figured maybe they'd either sign, you know, stick with Falk or they'd go out and get somebody. So I'm pretty excited that they got Jake Gardner because, A, he's a good old Wisco Badger. Love that. And actually, I was talking to my mom. I feel like there may be. I haven't looked into this. But my mom was like, has there been a Badger playing for the Hurricanes before? And I feel like there has been, but haven't looked into it, but I'm very excited nonetheless to have him. I think he's really good. I think he caught a lot of flack from Toronto media.
And as everyone does. It's that the
was
toughest.
I was going to say that was somewhat unnecessary and somewhat like maybe not misguided, but just not, you know, not in the right place.
Undeserving of that.
Yeah. Undeserving. Yeah, that's probably the word. But I think that's just unfortunately the
climate.
That's kind of the trade-off of playing in, you know, either Montreal or Toronto, is that especially those two. I know there are other places where the media is tough, but those two are the ones that come to mind that are pretty like they're going to eat you alive if you make one tiny mistake kind of place. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about him. I think he'll be a good offensive defenseman for the Hurricanes, which, I mean, you've got Dougie Hamilton who pretty much does that, and Brett Pesce is a plus minus god. But yeah, I'm pretty excited nonetheless.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, so those are some free agency signings that have happened around the league. Let's talk about a little bit about the Blackhawks, because they do have a signing of their own as well. But before we get to that, I just want to touch on the 2019 Prospects Tournament, which is held every year in Traverse City, Michigan. There are only 8 teams that attend this, so as teams drop out, other teams can join in. The Blackhawks have played in it the last couple seasons. It's been happening, so it happens over 4 days, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday and Tuesday. And they're in the Gordie Howe division with the Wings, the Blues, and the Leafs. They open the tournament with a 5-4 overtime win with an overtime goal from Adam Boqvist over the Detroit Red Wings, which was exciting. And then yesterday they lost 6-3 to the Toronto Maple Leafs prospect team. But today's the day off. They always do a bowling tournament, so there's some fun content from that. And then it picks back up tomorrow on Monday where we play the St. Louis Blues prospects team. And then Tuesday is the championship day. So depending on where we finish tomorrow, how we do against the Blues will determine how they play on Tuesday. But players like Kirby Dach, Mackenzie Entwistle, Brandon Hagel, Michael Hakkarainen, Reese Johnson, Philip Kurashev, Tim Soderlund, Michael Telpley, and then also guys like Nicholas Beaudin and other prospects, Adam Boqvist for sure, have also been attending this. And it's been pretty fun from all the highlights that I've seen. And the Kirby Dach on the first day was just incredible. So was Adam Boqvist from the things that I saw on Twitter. So that's really exciting. I think there's, like, if you Google it, there's streams, I'm sure, that you can watch them on. But there are Blackhawks insiders like Chris Cook, and then there's Charlie Romeliotis, friend of the pod, that is also up there covering it for NBC Sports Chicago. So 2 more days of that to keep an eye on. But another piece of Blackhawks news that came out this week, Brendan Perlini, who was also an RFA this year, signs a 1-year, $874,125, very specific contract, with the Chicago Blackhawks. Last season, he had played in 68 games, had 14 goals and 7 assists for 21 points. Obviously, he came over to the Blackhawks in that deal with Dylan Strome that was back in October of last year. And he was pretty good for the Blackhawks. He had a stint in the middle, like towards the end of the season, where he was just a goal-scoring machine, and that's all he did. I know Megan is really excited about this. Megan really likes him. This is kind of her thing. I'm just kind of very indifferent. I'm like, okay, he's a player, he's a body.
I think it's – I don't know why. I always gravitate towards, like – saying it this way, and I don't. Let me rethink the way I was going to say that. I always tend to gravitate towards players that I feel like don't do much.
Yeah.
But are like
the not big name players.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Antoine Roussel is one of my favorite players ever for absolutely no reason. Literally no reason. I just love him so much. And Brendan Perlini is just one of those guys.
Yeah.
A fun fact, Joakim Nordstrom is also one of those guys. I have his jersey from when he played here.
Yeah.
He was a Blackhawk. I just felt like I just felt like Joakim Nordstrom is my guy. But yeah,
Blackhawks legend.
Blackhawks legend, Joakim Nordstrom. Actually, I don't even know where he's playing anymore because I don't think he's playing with Boston, but maybe he is. Maybe he is still playing with Boston, actually.
He is playing he played with Boston last year.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Brendan Perlini. When this broke, we had been talking about, I think we've been talking about Jake Gardner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we've been talking about somebody else, like.
They happened on the same day.
Yeah, I think we were talking about Jake Gardner, and you were upset about it. And then out of the blue, you texted me Bubs, which is Brendan Perlini's, like.
Yeah.
That's his Instagram handle, kind of, and his Twitter handle, and I guess his nickname.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, oh, no, they let him sign somewhere else. And I think I texted you, like, a string of, like, really upset texts, and then I went to Twitter and saw that he re-signed with the Blackhawks, and I was like,
oh, okay.
Oh, no, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I was a mess. I was at work, and I'm sure my coworkers are just constantly in a state of confusion because I'll glance down at my phone. I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb at work so that I don't get distracted, but I get distracted anyways by it. It's a bad loop. but every time I check it, like, I feel like I make a face because either something Blackhawks happened or something else happened with somebody else that I like. It's always something.
Yeah.
Like, always something, and I feel like I'm always making a face at my phone, and my coworkers are probably like, what is wrong with this girl?
What's happening? Yeah. No,
what's going on?
I mean, he's a great depth guy for the Blackhawks. Obviously, he's not one of the superstars. Like, he'll play in the bottom six, but he was a good depth guy for us coming in, so a one-year deal is also not harmful at all. Like, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out, but he's not, like, terrible. He's consistent, so that's a good sign.
I felt like he hopped up and down the lineup okay.
Yeah. He can probably, like, he's like, kind of like a utility guy. You can just slide him wherever, and he does a pretty decent job at it. You know?
Yeah. I'm down for it. I mean, you know, we need guys like that. It's always nice to have guys that can step in where they need to. Like, Andrew Shaw is another one of those kind of guys where he can, probably like a bottom six guy, but he can hop in the top two lines if he needs to. And, I don't know. Those guys are, I find that those guys are usually my favorite players. Don't know why. They just
need the love too, you know?
Yeah, they do. You know, they really freaking do. And it's funny because I think I actually texted you, or I might have texted my sister. I don't remember. But a couple of days before he signed, I was like, if he signs, I'm getting a jersey. So I guess I gotta get a jersey now.
Oh boy. There you go.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So those are some things that happened in Blackhawks world this week. Let's jump over to the NHL because there were a couple of announcements to talk about. We'll start off on the top with Justin Williams. So Justin Williams has announced that he is not retiring from hockey, but he is stepping away from the NHL this season after playing the last 18 years. He has spent 7 years each in both Carolina and with the LA Kings. He spent 4 years with the Flyers and then 2 years with the Washington Capitals. He has 1,244 games played. He has 312 goals, 474 assists for 786 points. He was taken in the first round, 28th overall in the 2000 NHL entry draft. He was an all-star in 2007, and he is a three-time Stanley Cup champion in 2006 with the Carolina Hurricanes, and in both 2012 and 2014 with the LA Kings, and he was actually the Conn Smythe winner in the 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs. So he basically released a statement that said, you know, up until this point, my summers have all been about preparing for hockey and mentally and physically preparing my body for the next season and for the grind that's supposed to come up, and he just didn't do that this summer, and he doesn't really know what he wants his future to be in terms of hockey for the first time, like, ever. So he's taken some time away, spend it with his family, decide what he wants to do. I was listening to this on Spit and Chicklets, and it sounded like it if he did ever want to return to the NHL, it would kind of be like this. But it was a couple of seasons ago when Mike Fisher retired.
That's what immediately came to mind, where Mike Fisher signed, like, right before the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, he came back. But he is technically an unrestricted free agent, so if he does want to return to the NHL, it might not be with the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, if the Carolina Hurricanes are rolling and they've got that young team going and they're gunning for the playoffs again this year, then, you know, they might not want to take that on. But if they're just trying to get into a playoff spot or they're right on the bubble, they could use his help, a little boost and a veteran presence in the locker room. So it could be an option there as well. It also depends on how much money they've got under the cap to spend at that point. So with injuries and all of that stuff kind of pertaining to that. So best of luck to him. Obviously, like, Megan has watched him majority of his career because he did play in Carolina. I mean, Carolina literally has no cap space right now. So who knows what will happen with that. But
well, and it's funny because when this – so I think I saw a tweet. This happened, like, last weekend, like, over Labor Day weekend. And I think I had seen a tweet, like, the day before this happened saying that Justin Williams is pretty much going to have an answer for us, but it's going to be, like, either today or tomorrow. And I was like, oh, no. I know what this means. And my gut reaction was he's going to retire, which is fine. Like, I get it. I fully understand. Sad, but I get it. When he said he was taking a break, like, when he's stepping away, it just didn't feel any better.
Yeah.
I'm still really sad about it.
It's very uncertain. Like, you still don't have an answer, you know?
Yeah. Which sucks. And oh boy. It was one of those things where I read it and I read his statement and I literally, this sounds really stupid, but I literally grabbed my lint roller and just, like, angrily lint rolled my bed for a couple minutes to try and just, like, my dog sleeps with me in my bed for those who are wondering why I sat and lint rolled my bed. I do this every weekend. But I, like, lint rolled my sheets because I'm like, I need to just sit and think about this for a couple minutes before I say anything.
Just need to get my anger out really quick.
I just need to get my, like, frustration out here. Like, I'm not frustrated at him, of course not. But, right. And I'm not frustrated that, like, he waited until now to do it. It's his decision. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm not mad at him. I'm really not. Like, he needs to do what's best for him. Totally, fully understand. I'm still sad about it, though.
I mean, you have a right to be, you know, like, as a fan.
I think he just, like, last season, I really think, I don't know, this might be a hot take, but I really don't think that they would have been as much of a powerhouse as they were, especially in that last part of that season without him on that team. And I think he and Rod Brind'Amour were really, like, the cornerstones of that team. So it'll be interesting to see how this team looks this year, because I would be surprised if they assigned a new captain.
Like, that quickly, guess, you know?
Yeah. I would guess that Jordan Staal is probably going to get an A. And if Justin Falk comes back, he'll probably get an A.
Like when they did that rotating thing that they did a couple years ago.
I hope they don't do that. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That was absolutely the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
For those of you not sure what we're talking about, a couple years ago, I think it was two
years seasons ago. Before
Williams was the captain. They had Jordan Staal was the captain at home and then Justin Falk was the captain away, I think, or flip-flopped. Either way, one of them was the home captain, one of them was the away captain, and it was stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the fans liked it either. They should have just kept it as just given the A's or make Jordan Staal the captain.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And I love people on Twitter because they're absolutely stupid. The majority of people on
Twitter.
That's
not new.
Yeah, no, it's not new at all. But there's this one guy, and I think Sarah Sivian retweeted it or quote tweeted it. I can't remember. But there's this one guy who is like, I don't blame him for wanting to get out of doing the stupid storm surge, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he's the one that started those, dude. Like, he literally was the one that he did the.
He pioneered that idea.
He started that because he was making fun of the rookies that did stuff like that in practice. Mm-hmm. That's literally what that was.
Mm-hmm.
He started. It's the same. Like, Don Cherry made the same comments that, like, oh, I can't imagine Justin Williams wanting to be a part of that. Like, my dude, he was the one that started it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I am genuinely going to miss him. It'll be interesting. This whole season, I think last season really set a precedent for the Hurricanes. And it's going to be interesting because I think a lot of people have very high expectations for them now. Like, mm-hmm. not even, like, beyond just them being a good team, but them being, like, a fun team.
Right.
And, like, entertaining team off the ice, too. So it'll be interesting. There are now a lot of things, like, are they still going to do the storm surge? Are they going to be as good? Like, I don't know. It's, I know that sounds stupid. Like, the storm surge one sounds stupid, but I think genuinely, like, a lot of fans are
interested to see what's going to happen.
I wouldn't say concerned. I don't think anybody's concerned about the storm surge.
Right.
But I think it's one of those things where last season was so much fun to watch because, like, not only were they good, but they also provided, like, a weird type of energy that I think, like, literally everybody in the NHL fell in love with them. Mm-hmm. And I guess it'll just be interesting to see where they go from here because now they don't have their captain.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, Rod Brind'Amour is a fantastic coach. Like, they'll still be fine.
Right.
He just doesn't have the kind of conduit in Justin Williams that he did last year. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting, to say the least, to see what happens with the Hurricanes. I'm excited anyways. I'm going to the preseason game against the Capitals, which is going to be a bloodbath, and I, for one, am very excited about it.
Well, there you go. Well, there's another retirement that we have to discuss here as well, and that is Nicholas Cronwall, who played all 15 seasons of his NHL career with the Detroit Red Wings, a big part of that 2008 Stanley Cup team in which he was a champion of. He has 953 games, so he was like 47 games away from hitting 1,000. He's like, I'm going to call it quits. He had 82 goals, 349 assists for 432 points. He was drafted one pick after Justin Williams. He went in the first round, 29th overall in the 2000 NHL draft. And like I mentioned before, he was a 2008 Stanley Cup champion. But now that he is retired, he will move into a front office role. He will become the assistant to the general manager, kind of like Dwight is in the office, but to Stevie Y in Detroit, assistant to the general manager. So that's... I had to bring it up. I literally read that and I was like, he's literally Dwight from The Office. But I'm going to link it down below. But the thing that I'm going to remember most about Cronwall is that literally there is a verb named after Cronwall. You're getting Cronwalled. That guy was a brick wall. I'll link it down below. I watched like a 20-minute video of him just Cronwalling people. Patrick Sharp was one of the victims. But he put his, like, the way he did it too is just, I caught, like, he did his back. It was like his back and his butt. Like, he never full on like shoulder hit someone. He just like backed it up into people and he was going like full tilt and he would just go boop and he just hit. And it was like running into a brick wall, literally. That verb dubbed Cronwald, that is after getting, you know, wrecked by Nicholas Cronwall. So he's had a lot of back problems over the years and obviously wasn't doing much of that. Probably that's why he has back problems, because he was wrecking people everywhere. But he had a great career, 15 years. I'm pretty sure he's one of the last guys that was on that 2008 team to still be playing either for the Red Wings or for the in the NHL in general. That was a deep team. I'm going to see if I can like look it up here, but, he is calling it quits after a long career after torturing the Blackhawks for, you know,
at least he didn't get Patrick Sharp's face.
Yeah, that is very true. That's a very important aspect of him. Okay. So here's the roster from the 2008 team. Okay. So Justin Abdelkader is still on this team. So Justin Abdelkader is probably the last one, but, Justin Abdelkader, Chris Chelios, Dan Cleary, Pavel Datsyuk, Aaron Downey, Dallas Drake, Chris Draper, Matt Ellis, Jonathan Erickson, Valtteri Filppula, he's still playing in the NHL, Johan Franzen, I remember him, Mark Hartigan, Dominic Hasek, Darren Helm, Thomas Holmstrom, Jimmy Howard, Yuri Hudler, Thomas Kopecky, Nicholas Cronwall, Brett Lebda, then you got Nick Lidstrom, Andreas Lija, Kirk Maltby, Darren McCarty, Derek Meach, Chris Osgood, Kyle Quincy, Brian Rafalski, Matthias Ritola, Mikhail Samuelson, Garrett Stafford, Brett Stewart, and Henrik Zetterberg. So I'm pretty sure the only two players still playing are Valtteri Filppula and Justin Abdelkader. And Justin Abdelkader is the only one that's still playing on the Detroit Red Wings from that team. So that team has some like Dominic Hasek was on that team. Chris Chelios, like obviously Nick Lidstrom, Henrik Zetterberg called it quits a couple years ago. But congratulations to Nicholas Cronwall. Thanks for traumatizing me in my childhood. Love that for us. Seattle NHL, who still doesn't have a name, which I'm pretty sure they say their nickname is supposed to come out around the All-Star game, so that'll be interesting to
hear. Oh, really?
Yeah, they announced that a couple days ago.
I need them to just say it, because at this point, I know it's going to happen, because this happened with the Golden Knights, too. They said their name, and I hated it immediately.
Yeah.
And then it, like, ended up growing on me. I know I say this, like, almost every podcast, but I still think that Vegas should have been the Aces.
Yeah, you do say that at, like, every podcast.
I say that all the time because I feel like it should be. I mean, I like the Golden Knights. I really do.
Yeah.
Because their unis are dope. But I just feel like there should be a petition to change it. Just, like,
missed a great marketing opportunity here, guys.
You did. You really did. Like, the Golden Knights, like, there aren't any castles in Nevada, to my knowledge.
Also, you say it weird. It's Nevada.
What?
It's Nevada. No,
it's Nevada.
No, it's Nevada.
I don't know. That's how I've always said it.
Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Nevada. Anyway, if you think it's Nevada, let us know down below and you can be wrong with Megan. But the Seattle NHL hires Ricky Olczyk as their assistant general manager. So he is formerly a professional scout from the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. But this is the important part. He spent 4 seasons with Carolina as the assistant to the general manager when Ron Francis was the GM, and now Ron Francis is the current GM of the Seattle team. So they've got a connection there. So just a little bit of Seattle news. Not much going on there. This one's an important one, and I'm not glad that this happened, obviously, but I literally had just went on a rant about this on the last podcast, but Dale Hawerchuk is stepping away from the Barry Colts to deal with health problems, and around Twitter and online and stuff, I heard that it was related to mental health. He has coached the Barry Colts since the 2010-11 season. He has a .551 win percentage with 282 wins and 269 losses. In those years since he's been coaching there, they have 3 playoff misses and they have 1 conference championship. But the Barry Colts are obviously part of the OHL, which is it's one of the more competitive leagues in junior. But he has coached players like Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets, Aaron Ekblad of the Florida Panthers, Mackenzie Blackwood of the New Jersey Devils, and Andrei Svechnikov and Ryan Suzuki of the Carolina Hurricanes, young players for them. So Dale Hawerchuk also played in the NHL, had a pretty storied career. I'm going to pull up his numbers here. But literally, like, right after I had gone on that rant. So he played in 1,188 games. He had 518 goals, 891 assists for 1,409 points. He was the first overall pick in the 1981 NHL draft. He won the Calder in 1981-82. He was a one-time All-Star, and he is also in the Hall of Fame. So he had a pretty storied career. He played 8 years in Winnipeg, 5 years in Buffalo, and 2 years in Philadelphia for a 15-year NHL career. That was just under playoffs. He played 9 years in Winnipeg, 5 years in Buffalo, 2 years in Philadelphia, and 1 year in St. Louis for 16 years in the NHL. He had a pretty storied career, never won a Stanley Cup, but he says he was a one-time All-Star, but here it says he went to 5 All-Star games. This is what always bugs me about Hockey Reference. They only put 1 on the top. But he was at the 82, 85, 86, 88, 97 All-Star game. But he is stepping away from his coaching role for the last 9 years to deal with health issues. So props to Dale on doing that and putting himself first and doing something that is going to be beneficial for him, his health, and everyone around him. So wishing him the best of luck as he goes off to do that. But 2 other things that we can spend some time on. Pierre Maguire has been taken off the NBC Sports top coverage team and will be replaced by Brian Boucher. So this doesn't mean that he's not going to be off the broadcasts in general. He's just going to be on the B team that gets lesser games. But fans are very hot and cold about this. Obviously, there have been things in the past that have triggered people to not like Pierre Maguire. Here's the difference. People were cheering for him losing this because of who he is as a person, not because of who he is as a hockey analyst. And I have read things like Greg Wasinski was saying too. You know, Pierre has a lot of knowledge, and Pierre does bring a lot of things to an NHL broadcast, but I think his position between the benches was not the best suited for him. I think he would be better in a studio setting or in an analyst, more of like a controlled setting, because he might get too over his head if he's in between the benches, or that's when those kind of interactions happen. But to wish him bad because he lost his position and is moving down is kind of anal to me. Like, I don't, I'm not like, yay, Pierre lost his job, but I'm also not like, oh man, Pierre's off the top team. Like, it's a, it's a healthy balance, you know?
It was one of those things where, like, I was more shocked by it than anything else, because when the initial report came out, it sounded like he straight up lost his job. Like, he's not doing any games ever again, which a little bit surprised me, only because I just, like, I agree with the fact that he would probably be better in, like, a studio setting, because he has all these, like,
tidbits of knowledge. Like, his brain is like an encyclopedia.
He sure is. And I think the first thing I texted you was like, who's going to tell me junior stats now?
Sidney Crosby.
Like, literally, like, who's going to tell me all that junior's knowledge? But I don't know. Like, I've complained about Pierre Maguire before. I know I have. I've probably complained about him on this podcast before, but I've also complained about other people on NBC. So that's not me.
Pierre's not the only one.
No, he's not the only one catching flack from me, from the NBCSN team. But yeah, it was just, I think the whole thing was weird to me because the first reports of it did, like, legitimately make it sound like he was completely canned. And that's when people were being ridiculously mean about it. And, like, if you don't like him as an analyst, that's fine. But don't, like, attack him as a person.
Yeah, they're two completely different things.
I am literally sure he's a fine person.
I've heard he's, like, really nice and really kind.
Well, he seems nice. I mean, he seems like a nice guy. Like, he doesn't seem like he'd be
malicious or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little weird and a little out there, but he's nice.
Right.
So, like, this is why Twitter.com is kind of the worst. And I try to distance myself from it a little bit. Because sometimes people just shouldn't talk. Sometimes people should just maybe not speak their opinions. Right. That sounds really bad. And I don't mean it in that way. It just, sometimes people are just a little, especially on Twitter. And I think it's because you're behind a profile. You're not, it's the same thing as just any being on the internet in general. You're just going to get people like this. Twitter just happens to be like the cesspool of it. You know, people are behind this profile. They're not actually talking to somebody. Like, I guarantee you none of those people would say any of that to Pierre's face. And if they do, they're literally a terrible person. Because some of the stuff I saw was just downright ridiculously mean for no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm semi-glad that he's, like, sticking around. I feel like he's kind of like a staple of the
I've always NBC known an NBC game, like, Wednesday Night Rivalry, like, with Pierre Maguire between the benches.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, and I think maybe I had talked about this with you or my mom, I can't remember, but, like, towards the end of last season, you could kind of tell this was going to happen because they started putting him on, like, the West Coast games.
Yeah, like the later games.
I think you and I are the ones talking about this, which, like, is, I mean, that's fine. So, like, I think, like, it makes sense. I was so shocked when they were like, yeah, he's getting canned. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold the phone here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't know that, like, relieved is the right word. Because, like, kind of like what you said, like, I don't really mind one way or another.
Right.
That he's sticking around. But it was just, the whole situation was weird. And I don't know that it was reported quite the right way. I think there is probably a lot of just confusion around it anyways, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the NBCSN team does this year then.
Yeah.
Sorry, so that went into a rant for no reason.
That's okay. That's what we're here for. Two other things to mention really quickly. So four women will actually be officiating the NHL prospects tournaments. Katie Guy and Kelly Cook, who are referees, and Christian Welsh and Kendall Hanley, who are linesmen, were picked out of a group of 90 or so officials that attended prospect camps, and there's, like, a big combine that they do, basically. And four women have been chosen to officiate, which is great. Obviously, in the NHL, there are no women officials, either referees or linesmen, currently right now, but hopefully the tide will be turning on that. So that's very exciting, and congratulations to them. And to wrap up the NHL segment, the NHL Media Tour took place in Chicago last Thursday and Friday, the 5th and 6th of September. All of the big stars were here. Every single person that Thursday night was at the Bears-Packers game. I swear
literally
to
everybody.
God, I'm sitting here and I was like, every player I've ever loved is in my city, and I have never felt so far away. On a good day from my house to Soldier Field is about a 30-35 minute drive. From here to my house, or from my house to Fifth Third Arena, where they were doing all the NHL media stuff, is a good 20 to 25 minutes. So I'm right there. You know, I'm right there. I actually was ballsy and I decided to DM Elliot Friedman after I was like, hey, he's in my city. And Megan's like, you should just DM him. And I was like, okay. So I DM'd him. He replied to me. He told me that he was impressed with me and my willingness to reach out. I offered to take him and Jeff to lunch at the Palace Grill. Meet George, you know, my best friend. But obviously it didn't work out because they were literally only here for 2 days and their schedule was packed top to bottom. But everyone was here. Sportsnet was here. TSN was here. All the big networks were here. All the big stars were here. A lot of good content. Looks like it's going to be coming out from this for the NHL season. So that'll be really exciting. So obviously we saw all of the players' portraits. I actually was at my Nana's house today with my cousins. And she's standing there and we were talking about, it was after the Cubs game was over and I turned on NHL Network and my cousin's girlfriend was there and she was kind of asking about hockey, blah, blah, blah. And my grandma sits up and she goes, Shaylin. And I was like, oh, yes, yes. And she's like, did you see the handsome pictures? And I was like, the handsome pictures? She goes, the one of them in the suits? I go, oh, you mean the portrait? She goes, oh, Jonathan Toews just keeps getting beautiful, just keeps getting more beautiful with age. And I was like, Nana, you are so right. She goes, that man is so handsome. And I was like, I know. She's like, they really did a good job with those portraits. Whoever decided to do that, that's a great idea. And I was like, I agree with you, Nana.
I've found a new phrase recently, and I feel like when I looked at the pictures of those portraits, this is the first thing that popped into my head. And I don't even think that this is even like a new phrase. I feel like this is just, I'm just new to it.
Yeah.
But it's popped across my timeline a couple of times, but it's like, just God spent a little extra time on him.
Oh, dude, like, I said that at the Shawn Mendes concert. I was sitting with Daniela. I go, and on the seventh day, God made Shawn Mendes and he took his sweet time. Like that's how I feel.
He spent a little extra time on him. Like you can tell, I hate saying that, but like, oh man. But
that's how, like, Nana feels. Like Nana's 83 years old.
Look so good. And it's not just those two, like Matt Barzal looked really good. All those portraits were so nice.
And the portraits from the Swedish one too, the Swedish tour that they did with like William Nylander looking like an English professor, those were really good too. Like I saw Gabe Landeskog, Roman Josi, like, ooh. Just more of that, more of that. So that was really exciting. So that was some things that have been happening.
I always love Media Day because it's like 2 days of like a whole lot of content from every single team.
And then it sets you up for like the 1 week before training camp starts. You're like, I'm set. I'm good.
I'm ready to go. Let's do this hockey.
Yeah.
No, what was the caption on Jonathan Toews' picture?
Doing that hockey shit.
Yeah, it's doing that hockey shit. Apologies for our... we're quoting somebody, though, so it's fine.
I'm quoting Jonathan Toews. This is what Captain Sirius said on Instagram, everyone.
When I saw that, so I get... he's the only person that I have notifications on for Instagram. I think I put them on when he first started, and I just never took it off, because I don't get notifications from people on Instagram just because, like, I'm on there enough where I'll see it.
I don't get notifications at all. Like, I just open it, and I see a message, and I'm like, ooh, a message.
No, I get notifications for messages only because my sister will berate me if I don't answer her, like, or if I don't look at hers right away. Plus, you know, like, you send me stuff and my mom sends me stuff and coworkers send me stuff. So, I'm on Instagram literally all the time. And for some reason, he's the only one I haven't had any notifications for. And then I have like a bunch of people on tweet notification. Mm-hmm. I think I actually still have you on tweet notification. I can't remember. I think so. But yeah, so I got the notification and I was like one of the first people to like it. And then I sent it to you. I'm like, Shay, look.
That was so great. I ran down my stairs and I was like, Mom, Captain Sirius swore on Twitter. I never, or on Instagram. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
Oh, so good.
It was a good time. All right, we got some power plays. Well, actually, I have my power play.
We got one power play because your girl just can't think of any when there's nothing happening.
Dude, like, I give you a full week. I give you a full week to think about this.
I know. Believe me, I know. And you're acting like I don't think about it all week. And I come up with ideas, but they're usually, like, really stupid. And I'm like, I can't talk about that.
Yes,
and
you can. So I just,
no, there's I
no
can't.
Such thing as stupid ideas. It's just stupid people having the ideas.
I also, like, I feel like a lot of the times, too, I'm like, oh, I like this idea. And then I'll go back and look, and we've already talked about it. Like, one of us has already talked about it in a power play, usually me. And I'm like, well, I don't want to talk about that again.
Yeah.
I want to just rehash old stuff. Not that I don't do that all the time.
Right.
I literally talk about the same, like, five things on almost every single podcast.
That's okay.
The Vegas Golden Knights being one of them.
That's all right. You know, it happens.
But, yeah, I don't know. I was telling you earlier that I was very upset earlier today that I couldn't think of one because I was like, this is like the third week in a row. No, I think it's like the second week in a row. But it's happened a lot this summer, though.
Yeah, that's okay. You know,
I just gotta bite the bullet and really think hard next week and maybe
something will happen. Who knows?
Something's gotta happen because at this point, I need to talk about something.
Right. Well, I have one. So
I know, and yours are always so creative and like.
They just come to me, dude. I don't know.
I feel like yours are. What the funny thing, too, is that yours are always like really deep and like kind of like make you think. And then mine are like Brock Besser looks like Prince Charming. Here's the examples.
I literally, I talk about it like I'm not even kidding you. When I go to, because I see my therapist on Saturdays, when I see my therapist, I literally sit down with her and it's like, all right, these are the things I'm going back and forth between for my power play on the podcast this week. Which one do you think I talk about? Because I just get so in depth about things that she's just like, Oh, I think you'd really hit the nail on this one. And it's great because she never knew.
You'd be really
like,
good on this one.
She doesn't know. Like when I started going to see her, and I'm actually coming up on my 1 year, which I think it's like the 29th of September is like my 1 year of starting going to therapy. And we were talking about it in the beginning. Like I talk, like I literally, like if any of you listen to the Steve Dangle podcast, like he talks about all, like makes jokes all the time. Like, oh yeah, that's what I talk to my therapist about. Like the Leafs ruining his life. But like literally I talk to my therapist about hockey all the time, especially during the season when it's really just getting me. And she told me the other day, she's like, I literally, I'm not going to lie to you. I knew nothing about hockey. And then you came in and started being my client. And now I actually know things. Like she asked me about a player the other day and I was like, I'm so proud of you. Like I've taught you so much. And so she'll literally ask me like, cause I talk about the Edmonton Oilers a lot. She's like, all right, what are those oil team doing? And I'm like, the Oiler boys are not doing great.
The Oiler boys.
Yeah. So
did
it's
you see
funny.
That, did you see that, video of Connor McDavid, like super stick handling and then Corwin from Bar Down trying to do it. And he was just like, the ball immediately just like flew away from him. Like, I think I sent it to you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like, well, oh man, Connor McDavid stick handling, as much as I like am pretty indifferent towards him. I could literally watch him. I could watch him stick handle all day long.
It's
like
magical.
Legitimately all day. I could watch it on a loop.
It's mesmerizing, dude. Oh, hey, the Patriots are up 7-0.
The Patriots.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready for my power play.
Okay. Go.
Okay. So this is something I just wanted to touch on before the regular season begins, because as we know, training camp starts next week and then it's preseason and then it's the regular season, right? So general PSA about fan etiquette before the season begins. I know it can be very frustrating when you can clearly tell that someone might be a bandwagon fan or might be a new fan, because trust me, after the 2016 World Series, the amount of Cubs fans that were bandwagon fans from that year is just enough to make me just want to bang my head into a wall repeatedly. But here's the thing. If you want this sport to grow, and obviously, for those of us who listen to this podcast, obviously we are big hockey fans. We know more than just the general fan about it. And so we're big fans and we're supporters of the game and the league and all that stuff. If we want our game to grow, and if we want our league to be able to expand and to reach new markets and new people and people from all over, you need to be willing to accept those people that may not know as much as you, or may not haven't been around for as long as you have, like those diehard fans from day one. Like I watched the Blackhawks when I was a kid, but I wasn't day one like I was with the Cubs. Like literally I came out of the womb and I was in a Cubs blanket. Like it was literally day one for me. But for the Hawks, I didn't get into them until I was in about fourth or fifth grade. So it's a different timeline. But just a general PSA, like, don't be rude to those fans. Don't make fun of them at games or online, especially if they're younger and they're trying to get into the sport. And, like, make sure that hockey truly is for everyone, because it's much more enjoyable when you have a packed arena or you're chatting with really fun fans on Twitter or Instagram and stuff like that. And just, I just really like it, for as much as those fans exist and as much as it's easy to be like, those girls are so annoying or those guys are so annoying, I mean, they're becoming fans of the game. They're trying to come to the game. They're trying to learn. We all were at that point at some point in our fandom. We were all a beginner. We were all like just starting to get into it. So just as a general PSA for this upcoming season, be a good fan, have good fan etiquette, talk to the person next to you at a game. You never know, you could become friends with them or you could have a good conversation with them. And, you know, just, I don't know, have your fandom, let them have theirs, and don't try and one-up other people by being like, oh, well, I was here first and I did this first. Just, you know, accept people as they come into the sport and show them how we do it Blackhawk style. I don't know, just a general PSA.
No, and I completely agree with you on that. Like, I feel like I am 1,000%, or I was 1,000% a bandwagon fan. I literally, the only reason I even vaguely know about the Blackhawks was because of the 2010 Stanley Cup. And then I continued to kind of follow them. And then I really started following them after the 2014-15 season. So I would say that I probably fall into that category. And I feel like people were nice to me. Like, I don't feel like I literally, the day that they won the Stanley Cup, I was leaving Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the guy in front of me at security had a Taves jersey on. And he couldn't have been nicer about this because I was an idiot. And I literally called him Toes. And the guy was nice about it, though. Like, he was like, he talked to us anyways, even though I completely mispronounced the name on the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
And like from a Blackhawks fan perspective, like, Taves is like one of the big ones that you should know, but he was super nice about it. Like, that's how you should be. Like, not everybody knows. Like, and even, my sister and I we went to a Hurricanes game last year, when they were playing the Maple Leafs, and the girl next to me was wearing a Maple Leafs, like a blank Maple Leafs jersey, and she was pronouncing, bless her heart, she was pronouncing every single player's name wrong for the Maple Leafs. And my sister was sitting there laughing at her, and I'm like, Olivia, don't say anything. Just let her be.
Yeah.
Just let her be. Like, she's
trying.
She's trying. The guy next to her wasn't correcting her, which I was kind of surprised by. It seemed like he was maybe her boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
And he took her to the game, but I don't know. It could have been her brother. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was just letting her mispronounce all their names. And, like, that's, you have to learn that stuff. Like, this is coming from somebody who mispronounces literally everybody's name. I cannot for the life of me say names. like, the Russian names really get me. The Swedish names really get me.
It's hard. And, like,
I will mispronounce your name. And I'm not doing it because, like, I can still be a fan of you.
Right.
I'll get it eventually.
Right, and you're trying. And, like, literally, I was on the Leafs bandwagon before I became a fan, like, 3 seasons ago. I was on the Vegas Golden Knights bandwagon when they first came into the NHL. And I was fully, like, I am on this bandwagon. I got through the first season. Like, once I get through a whole season of really cheering on a team, like that I did with the Leafs and the Golden Knights, and I consider myself a fan because I was like, I've been here. I watched almost every game, followed almost every game. Like, I know the players. Like, I'm in it now. Exactly. But, like, I'm a fan of the Montreal Canadiens. Like, I'm a bandwagon for the Colorado Avalanche. 100% a bandwagon for the Colorado Avalanche. But, like, that makes it fun. Like, expand from your own team. Like, learn other players. Like, learn other teams.
I just find it so frustrating when people either make fun of other people for being a band. Like, you have to start somewhere. Like,
right.
Not everybody's just born liking a team. Like, I had a Brett Favre jersey when I was like 4. But, like, that's one of those things, like, obviously that was passed on to me. But, and my mom likes the Blackhawks, but not to the extent that I do.
Yeah.
And like my dad and my stepmom both kind of like the Blackhawks now that I'm into them. And like my sister likes hockey. She likes the Hurricanes. But like, everybody has to start, like you have to start somewhere being a fan. Like most people are bandwagon fans because that's when they start to get noticed. Like that's when the team starts to get noticed. It's the same thing with like, I don't think people really talk about like being a fan of like a musical artist or like an actor or something in a bandwagon type of way. But I think it goes the same way. I mean, you look at like people like Taylor Swift, who like she was performing in like tiny little bars and whatever in Nashville before she got really big. And I guarantee you there are people out there who are like, well, I've been a fan of Taylor Swift since so-and-so. And it may, perfect example too. Like even like I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I'm recently getting into K-pop and I've been getting into BTS, especially the past like couple months. And that fandom, let me tell you, is one of those fandoms where if you have not been a fan for more than like a year, they're like, you're new. And it just like, what do you mean?
Well, just let me enjoy this. Like I'm here. Does that matter?
Like,
yeah.
Does it matter? Like, I'm sorry that I don't know every inside joke. I'm sorry. It's the same thing with like TV shows and movie series and stuff. Like just because I haven't been here from the start does not mean that I am not as much of a fan. Like it does not determine how much of a fan I am, how long I've been a fan, if that makes sense.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it does not matter.
Like, let me be a fan of whatever I want to.
Unless if you're not hurting anybody, if you're not making fun of anybody, if you're not, like, trolling anybody on the internet and you're literally just trying to be a fan of a sports team, I don't see why people should be having a problem with it. Because it's like, and if you love the sport and you love the game so much, you do want to expand it to other markets. You do want more fans to experience what you experience and fall in love with the sport that you love so much. So why would you ridicule someone for trying to get into it?
That's the thing is, like, that's what I will never understand is, like, you want other people to be into what you're into, but the second they are, they're a bandwagon fan because they're only getting into it like
and there's
they're
a
getting
line
into it late or they're getting into it because it got big and
there's a line. Like there's a lot of fans after the 2016 World Series that were like, oh, I've been a Cubs fan my entire life and you just came into the Cubs, like you just like them because they won the World Series. And there's a couple people that I know and I see on Twitter that are all like that literally will come at people and be like, I've been here since like 2015, you need to back off. And I'm like, hi, hello, I've been a fan since like I was born and I suffered through a lot of really, really bad baseball. And like, I've been here and like, I know people that have just become Cubs fans in the last 5 years and they are nice about it and they're genuinely interested and they don't come on here and ridicule people like you. And that's why people don't like you. Like it's, if you're rude to like someone, like it's, it makes you, it turns people off from you, you know?
Well, and a lot of people, so I used to read, I still kind of read it. It doesn't update that frequently, but I don't know if any of you have heard the webcomic Check Please. It's about hockey. And when I used to, when that comic used to update very frequently back when I was in college, like 2 or 3 years ago, a lot of the people I followed were Penguins fans because that's around the time the Penguins were winning, when they won those two cups back to back. And I can't tell you how many people got mad about the fact that this comic was getting people into hockey, but getting them into the Penguins. And I'm like, okay, but say you just wanted to read the freaking comic because the art style was cute. Mm-hmm. And you started enjoying like the fact that it has hockey in it. So you look at hockey. Well, what's going to be splashed across every page? The fact that the Penguins are winning. Like what?
Right.
What do you expect? Like, that's just how things go.
Right.
Like, it just, like, oh, it just makes me so mad when people get really, like, specific about, well, I've been a fan since whenever. Like, I don't care that you've been a fan that long. I've been a fan of the Packers since I was a kid. I've been a fan of the Brewers since I was a kid.
Right.
I've been a fan of the freaking Charlotte Hornets since I was a kid. And, like, it just, like, it doesn't matter. Like, what?
Right.
I've only been a fan of the Blackhawks for the past like 3 or 4 years, but that doesn't make me any less of a fan than like you or my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I have intense feelings about the bandwagon thing. I really do. Just be nice to people. It's not that hard.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so that's what I was trying to get across there. End of conversation. So that being said, we do have some countdowns here as we're getting closer. We've got about 8 days left until the preseason begins. We've got 26 days until the regular season opens in the NHL. And then we've got 32 days until the home opener versus the San Jose Sharks. So just getting everybody super excited for the season coming up. I know we both are really excited for things to get going. But thank you again for tuning in this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. It's a little bit shorter, but hopefully this is like right around the 1 hour mark is going to be where we're at during the season, maybe a little longer. So we'll see how it's going. But hopefully you had a great week. Hopefully you have a great week upcoming. Thank you for coming back. Leave us a comment, drop, subscribe, everything like that down below. And we will talk to you guys again next week. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.